to start off by reading a thank you. Dear Mount Zion Baptist Church, since we arrived, we have been showered with blessings. The missionary's closet, the loved gift to Walmart for Kelly, the goodies in the wagon, the beautiful quilt, and the tremendous encouragement. We are overwhelmed by your hospitality and kindness, as well as impressed by your love for missions. Though we came to Mount Zion with the goal of being a blessing, you have been a blessing to us. Thank you again, the Francis family. It was a blessing to have them. A couple of announcements to make. This coming week, Men's Work Night on Tuesday night, beginning at 5:30. There's a stewards meeting on Wednesday evening at 6:30, as well as teen volleyball after teen time. Thursday at 1:30, we will be meeting and with the Heart Ministry of this church, and a couple other announcements to make. A reminder for cantata practice tomorrow night at 6 o'clock p.m. I believe that's here in the auditorium. Monday the 21st, 6 o'clock p.m. Annex? Okay, the annex room. Thank you. The junior choir will meet upstairs in the choir loft this Wednesday at 6:30. That's the junior choir. Again, Tom Albright will be painting room number one downstairs. So tonight, teenagers, some of you, all you teenage men, can I see those hands out there? Oh, there we go. We could use some of those hands downstairs, okay, to help move some items, okay, just for a brief moment or two. The ambassadors will have their leaf ride on this Tuesday. They'll meet at the church at 11 o'clock. Any questions, you can see Evelyn. And then here is a note to get to know our new staff members. I'm assuming they mean me and Pastor Mike probably too. But there are handouts at the usher station to help us get to know the Almandas and the Hunts. Be sure to pick one up on your way out. The problem was I didn't know I was filling it out for the church. I thought I was filling it out for Pastor Chris, so he's asking me what I like doing on my spare time, and I put sleep. I already have good pillows. And last but not least, Anchored Lives. Anchored Lives, we'll be having a young singles activity. We'll be having a hayride on November the 8th. The sign-up sheet is in the foyer. November the 8th, the same date when, in 1895, we get the rest of it, right? Physicist Wilhelm Röntgen took the first x-ray pictures. The problem is, he forgot to mention that on the same date in 1889, Montana became the 41st state to join the Union. Yes. We will have to find a new historian in our church. That's all the announcements.
All right, just before we have our offering, we'll sing a song, but I'd like to take a moment and just tell you thank you for those that were involved in this missions conference this year. And I'd like you to see what it takes to have a missions conference. If you were a host this week, you hosted a missionary, if you and your family could stand. If you hosted Hendricks. And who else? Peters. All right. If you had a missionary over for a meal, if you could stay standing. Yes. If you could stay standing, everyone, I'd like everyone to stay standing. If you had a missionary over for a meal, your family, if you could stand up. Missionaries over for a meal. If you in any way set up for the conference, the columns, secretaries, anybody like that. If you were involved in the ladies' luncheon, setting up for the ladies' luncheon, decoration in any way, please stand. All church soul winning on Saturday, if you were involved in that, please stand. It takes a lot to have a missions conference. It's an important week. And me and my wife talked. She was a missionary's kid. You may be seated. But sometimes they're coming to our conference and they're running. And there's a lot going on. And we like to try and be a blessing. I think they're going away blessed by Mount Zion Baptist Church, and it takes a church to make that happen. And we appreciate the prayer, we appreciate the participation, and we look forward to next year, and look forward to what God's going to do through our faith promise giving this year. Let's turn to page 237. We'll sing the first, second, and the last of Tell It to Jesus. Stand and turn to page 237.
Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus, see.
Jim Bowman to come and pray over our offering.
Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you that we can be here this evening. Lord, we do remember that there's many with health issues that can't be here with us this evening. Lord, we pray for their healing. We pray for their comfort where they're at. We also pray for those that are out protecting our freedoms, Lord, whether it be in our military or here at home on the streets, Lord. We just pray for their protection. But, Lord, we are here, and we're here on purpose. We pray that each one of us would open our hearts and take what you have for us. Give the man in the pulpit the words to say, Lord, that we need, and let us take them willingly. Now, Lord, we pray that you'll bless this offering, and we thank you for the good week we've had, Lord, that teaches us that there is still a need there, Lord. We pray that you'll meet needs in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated. One last time, turn to page 567. Page 567, we'll sing the first verse of All Your Anxiety.
you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. Give the orchestra members time to get to their seats. Just to let you know, we just took the first of two offerings tonight. Since we forgot to do the offering in this morning service, we'll do two offerings tonight. just joke. Joshua chapter 1. We'll read verses 7 and 8. If you will, please stand with me as we honor the reading of God's word. Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 7, says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee, and turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Let's open the service in prayer. Our Father, we come to you now in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the opportunity and the privilege that it is to gather on this first day of the week around your word. I pray, Lord, that as we had a great missions conference, and as we have seen your hand blessed, and we have seen your working within our spirits, I pray, Lord, that you would help us now to live out what you've told us to do. It is not enough, Lord, for us to hear. It is more important for us to do. So, Father, I pray that we now, as we have come to this service, I pray that as we hear what is preached, may you help us to see how we are to fulfill it, to obey it. I pray for Pastor as he preaches. May you empower him, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May we see it?
It's good to have Caleb and Rebecca Sparks back in the service. Of course, Rebecca had quite a bout with a little bit of an infection there, and we're glad that the Lord helped her through that. Good to have them in the service tonight. Good to have Jackie Edwards in the service as well. Wally's had a couple good days this week. Very thankful for that. I had a good visit with him yesterday, and good to have Jackie in the service. Good to have Sherika and Trep. Where are Sherika and Trep? Are they in? Right over here to my left. You've not got a chance to know these folks yet. New couple that's come to our church recently, been here probably three or four times now, and good to have them back in the service tonight with their little baby. And then the getting to know you forms in the back for Pastor Tom and Pastor Michael are just so that there's no way I can have them stand up in a service and tell what they like and learn about them. So we had them fill out a form. We made copies of that so that you as a church could have that, learn a little bit about them. And Pastor Tom's phone number on that is already wrong, so we will put that in the bulletin next week once his communication gets settled, and it's good to have them here as well. Ruthie Raymeyer is on her last leg, so to speak, and went over there yesterday and read about heaven, and heaven's very, very nigh for her, so pray for her and the family. She's out of it most of the time, almost all the time now, heaven's right around the corner, and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so you continue to pray for Ruth. You heard Alberta's coming home on Tuesday. Phyllis Trexler is home but still recovering, and also Brother Ingalls is still recovering with all of his therapy. Talked to him the other day, and he was in the middle of a workout session, and he said he's doing much better. And so continue to pray for him as well in his recovery. I want to give you those updates, people updates tonight. We're in a series on principles for spiritual success, and we've been studying the book of Joshua and a number of principles that God gives Joshua that if he is going to succeed as the new leader of the nation of Israel, there are going to have to be some things that he commits himself to. There are going to have to be some principles that he follows. A couple of weeks ago, I entitled this particular message, "The Christian Most Likely to Succeed." This is part two of that message. If I could retitle it, it would be better titled this, "The Christian Guaranteed to Succeed." I used the illustration a couple of weeks ago that in my school growing up, they always had us fill out a different list, and they had the loudest in the class or the most likely to fall asleep in the class. And maybe we ought to have that in our church. We could have the most likely to fall asleep in church, the most likely to become famous or the most likely to be a comedian or the most energetic, the most creative. There was a category titled the most likely to succeed. And I introduced to you this particular truth that we ought to have a desire as believers to be at the top of that list as God thinks about those people that He wants to bless with success. And so how do we put ourselves in that place where God gives success? You may be living right now a little bit personally in defeat, discouragement. Say, preacher, you're talking about success, but I am not living there. I pray tonight's message will give you some things to grab onto that you can begin to pursue, knowing that God will bring success if we practice the principles of the Scripture. Obviously, as you read through the book of Joshua, you would realize that this was a military, going to be a time in Israel's history of military battles. There's going to be a time where they would be able to occupy the land if they could win the battles that were before them. And I believe that there's more land to occupy for Mount Zion Baptist Church. I believe that there's more for individual believers, more land, more success, more blessings that God wants to give individuals in this particular church. But you have to understand that sometimes we have to fight battles to get there. The blessings of God do not come easy. In fact, the Bible describes it over and over in the New Testament as a war. It's a war that we're in. And therefore, we have spiritual battles that we're going to fight. We wrestle not, the Bible says, against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I wonder if you've seen the Christian life lately as a battle. Because with battles come success, come victory. And that is what God wants us to have as individuals and then as a church corporately. I introduced to you the thought last time we were together on this particular message that we're not going to be able to use carnal weapons to fight spiritual battles. We must use spiritual weapons, and I'm going to give you some weapons tonight that if you'll use them properly, you'll follow the principles that are taught. God promises success. The first principle I gave you last week was that being comes before doing. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 7, the Bible clearly gives us the word be in verse number 7 before the word do in verse number 7. We have to be strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Or in other words, you're not going to do all the law unless you put into practice the principles of being strong and very courageous. Being comes before doing. It takes strength and courage, and it takes that in the matter of finishing what we start. Last week I introduced you to the thought that Jesus Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, endured the cross according to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2. I wonder if you've started something recently and you've stopped it, you have not finished something that you've started. I'm not going to park there again tonight, but that was where we started last week. We need to be strong and very courageous to finish something that God leads us to start. What is it that you're leaving undone in your life that you started? You made a commitment to God. You said, God, I'm going to live this way. I'm going to make this commitment to you. I'm going to follow you in this area. And you've drifted from that point. You haven't finished it. You've grown cold in that commitment to the Lord. We need to be strong and very courageous to finish something. But secondly, we need to be strong and very courageous to follow. We need to be strong and very courageous to follow. The staff, the new staff here, knows what I believe on leadership. Great leaders are great followers. That's the truth. I believe that that's why Joshua was chosen as the next leader of the nation of Israel. He knew how to follow Moses, and he knew how to follow God, because when God wrote Joshua chapter 1, or God gave him those instructions over and over and over again, he said, this is what it's going to take. You're going to have to be right before you do right. And if you're going to do right, you're going to have to do all that I command you. That means you're going to have to follow right to the jot and tittle of what I tell you to do. Brethren, if we're going to be great leaders, we must be great followers, willing to follow God to the jot and tittles of life
to where God says, this is how I want it done, this is when I want it done, and we follow God all the way with those things. Those chosen to be leaders are men who are great followers. Young people, listen up to me tonight. Your greatest choice right now in life, every teenager right up here, listen to me. Your greatest choice right now in life is not who you're going to marry. It's not the job that you're looking at to get. It's not the college you're thinking about to going to. Your greatest choice in life right now is who are you following? Who have you put in front of you and said, I'm going to follow them? Your greatest choice in life is as to whether or not when you listen to the Word of God, whether or not you're going to follow it, and you're going to follow it regardless of what everybody else is doing. That's what great leaders do. They follow. We need strength and courage to follow. There's a large crowd that you can follow tonight whose externals reveal the shallowness of the internal. There's a large crowd tonight whose habits reveal a lack of love for God. There's a large group of friends, young people, that you can give yourself to and you can follow and you can buddy up with, but whose Christian life has no depth and will lead you astray. I'm asking you tonight, I'm asking the question to adults and teenagers and young people alike, who are you following? You can tell a lot by the person you're following by what they spend their time on. What teens spend their time on in this world is unrestrained technology and lack of purpose for everyday life. I'm saying be careful who you're following and make a wise choice as to who you're following. Some spiritually are not operating with any strength or courage in this area. Brethren, I want to warn you of some things tonight. You are following the culture, and I will tell you one place it's killing us is in the area of technology. Some are spending so much time on the cell phone and on the tablet and on the social network of life that you're choosing a different path to follow. Some are following the culture in the area of priorities, and being strong and courageous means that you follow God and follow His priorities in life. Some are being swayed by the world and their indulgences and giving themselves above and beyond and all their time and energy and attention to things that the world would say would satisfy. I'm saying be careful who you follow. We need strength and courage to follow God in the area of priorities. Listen to me, you adults. Your children are seeing it. If you can't get your priorities right in life, I want you to know something. Your children are going to have the same priorities and even to a weaker extent God's priorities in their life as they watch you minimize God's priorities. You won't lead them closer to God by having the wrong priorities in life. We need to follow God in the area of priorities. When it's church time, it ought not to be a question in your house as to where you're going to be. If it's Sunday morning, if it's Sunday night, if it's missions conference, if it's Wednesday night, if it's Sunday school, there ought to be no question as to where we're going today. It ought to be nailed down in your home, sir. As a man, you ought to have it nailed down in your home that when the church doors are open, we are in church. We move heaven and earth to get to Mount Zion Baptist Church. This is our church. This is what we believe. These are the people that we love. This is the God that we worship. This is the Word of God that we live out in our lives. And so when it comes to church, it matters. It's who we are. We ought to give ourselves to it. Some are making decisions on what they think is best for the family, but violating principles of Scripture and priorities of Scripture. Some are getting too comfortable skipping Sunday services. Some have young people living loosely, and you're scared half to death to clarify and establish landmarks in your home. And some dads need some strength and courage to reestablish and paint the lines clear again in your home on the boundary lines that the Word of God sets. You need a family meeting. You need to call everybody together and have a fireside chat. You know, on a baseball field, you have lines that mark the left field line and the right field line. But over time, if you let those lines just go and you don't repaint those lines, they become what? They become faint. They're hard to see. And so what does the person that's in charge of maintaining the field, what do they do ever so often? They bring out the liner and they reestablish the lines. The same thing happens and needs to happen in our homes and in our church from time to time. Let me make something clear to all family members tonight. if the man of your home speaks up and takes leadership and sets a clear direction and course for you as children or as a wife, you need to have strength and ask God for strength and courage to follow him. We need that in our homes in the near future at Mount Zion. I plan to paint some lines clear again. And when I do, you'll need strength and courage to follow those lines. I want you to see something about Joshua. You read throughout the book of Joshua and you find a word of resistance from Joshua's mouth to what God instructed him. You find a place where he argued with God. You know what? You won't find it. Every time that God painted lines, every time that God said, this is the direction we're going, Joshua said, yes, sir, and stepped in line and followed God. We need strength and courage to be right. And that includes finishing, but it also includes following. Turn over in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter number 14. I want you to see in this passage the connection between inheritance that Joshua and Caleb received and wholly following the Lord. In verse number 1, I want you to see, or verse number 8, the Bible teaches us, nevertheless, my brethren. He didn't say my brother, indicating one brother. He said my brethren, indicating a plural, an amount of brethren. Look what the Bible says, that went up with me, made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. The reason Joshua and Caleb were blessed of God and inherited the promised land, and by the way, not just them, but their children, is because they wholly followed the Lord. When all the others, when the 10 spies came back and said, this is too hard, we can't conquer this land. Thank God there were two men that wholly followed God and got God's mind on the matter and said, yes, we can do it. This is what God's given us. I want you to see verse number 9. Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet had trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever. Why? Because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Drop down to verse number 14, if you would, the third mention of this particular phrase in just a matter of 7 verses. It says, Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. I'll tell you where sloppy Christianity takes place. It takes place when we partially follow God. When we only come halfway with God. When we only take one step where God wants us to take 3 or 4 steps. These brethren were blessed by God because they wholly followed God. Whatever God said, they didn't argue. They responded with obedience. And they stuck out. They were not part of the majority, brethren. There was a group called brethren that were part of the majority. But I want you to know that Caleb and Joshua stuck out because they wholly followed God. Holy following doesn't mean outward conformity to a list of rules or instruction. It means inward courage to do what others were unwilling to do. Fathers, are you willing to do that in your home? When other fathers may not be doing it, are you willing to do it and wholly follow God in your home? I'm talking about the issue of family devotions tonight. I know you're busy. I'm a busy person. You're a busy person. But I wonder if you've gotten the principle from the Scripture to meet with your family and to teach them on a daily basis what's right from the Scriptures and to train your children in the way and path of the Lord. I'm asking the gentlemen in our church, are you wholly following God in that area? Have you taken that so serious to say, it doesn't matter if anybody else is doing it, I'm going to do it. I'm going to follow God in that area. You see, don't expect the inheritance if you can't follow God completely. Who are you following? Who will you follow? Are you following your parents, young people? What about your pastors? What about the teaching you are hearing? Some follow disgruntled people. Some follow an erring brother. Some follow another teenager. Listen, it's important as to who you're following tonight. We not only need strength and courage to finish and to follow, but we need strength and courage to flee. The Bible has a lot to say about fleeing. in our New Testament. And sometimes as believers, we think we're stronger than what we really are. We think we can put ourselves in positions and get away with it and handle it spiritually. And your spirit may be willing, but the Bible reminds us that the flesh is weak. In fact, the flesh is weak, and it's weak all the time. The Bible says flee fornication, number one. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 18. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Now watch this very closely tonight. Young people, those of you that are in the age bracket of 18 to 25, those of you who are unmarried tonight, watch this. You don't commit the act of fornication just on accident at one time. You know what happens? You lead up to that act. You get your mind in filthy places, watching filthy things, looking at rotten stuff, and it affects your mind. And as a man thinks in his heart, or as a man thinks, so is he. The Bible says, flee fornication. If I never want to get there, I better never let my mind get in that kind of junk that would lead me there. I wonder if there's some homes tonight that need a holy cleansing in this particular area of what you're allowing to come across the screens in your home. I don't know if it's a tablet or the computer or the television or the DVDs that are being stuck in, but listen to me, you'll get fornication if you put junk into your mind here. Flee fornication. Young people, you need to make a commitment to the Lord in this area. God, before I get married, I'm not going to touch the opposite gender. I'm never going to start something. I'm not going to start a fire that I'm going to get burnt in my life on. Lord, I'm going to set a holy standard that will help me to fulfill this particular principle of flee fornication. And listen to me, it'll take strength and courage. Because it's not being done today. In good, independent Baptist churches, this standard is not being taught to our young people today. But listen, young person, if you want to have success, you want to have godly success someday, you want to follow God all the way, wholly follow God, you better set some standards up in this area. You better set some right ones, some ones that are going to guard and put fences around that area. Don't be going out alone with another person on a date without a chaperone. You have somebody there with you. You have accountability in place so that you never cross this line that God set. It's important to flee. And if we're going to flee, sometimes it means putting up some boundaries in life. It says, flee the love of money in 2 Timothy. It says, love money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Families, can I talk to you tonight? Money's not everything. If that becomes your whole pursuit in life, 1 Timothy 6, verse number 10 says, you will be pierced through with many sorrows. Maybe I've used this illustration before. I talked to my neighbor a number of years ago. He's passed into glory. I witnessed to him a number of times. He did not get saved in the seeds that I planted, but I was thankful to hear that he did get saved before he died. I talked to my neighbor. He said this. He said, I worked and worked and provided everything that I could for my children. He said, my philosophy of life was to give them the American dream. He said, but now when they come home, they never talk to me. He said, we get together for Christmas gatherings or Thanksgiving or family outings, and all they do is talk to their mother, but they never talk to me. You know why? He had a pursuit. But his pursuit turned into many sorrows later on in life. He says, but thou, O man of God, at the end of that context of the love of money, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. Don't run that life to its extreme. We have to provide for our families. But listen to me, you don't have to live like a king to please God or to be happy. Flee those things, the Bible says. God was making it clear to Joshua, heart preparation must take place before you do right. His inner character had to be right if he was going to do right. He was commanded to be strong and of good courage. He needed to finish. He needed to follow. And there were some things that he needed to flee. I wonder about you and your life. Why the command to be strong and of good courage? Because there'll be times when others will not follow your lead. That's why we need to be strong and of good courage. There'll be times when it's hard to obey. I was thinking about this with Joshua. Boy, I tell the people to cross Jordan. Okay, that's a big step, but he did it and they did it. But then to do all that the Lord commanded. Now we're in Joshua chapter 7, and Achan has sinned. And it's time to stone him. Joshua, the leader, that's a tough step. That's one that people are probably going to think, man, is he harsh? But he did it. He had courage to do even the things that were right, even though they were hard. Listen to me very carefully tonight. Every person under the sound of my voice, there's always a hard area for all of us to obey in. Obedience doesn't come easy on every front for any person. But we need strength and courage to obey God even in the hard areas of life. I don't know what your hard area is. For mine as a young person, it was a temper. I can remember repeatedly my father dealing with me over my temper. You have hard areas. I have hard areas. What is it in your area that you need strength and courage in to obey God? There'll be times when you'll be mocked. There'll be times when you have to stand alone. There'll be times when you obey God and people will get mad at you. Parents, expect that in leading your children. They're not always going to say, oh, yes, Daddy, I'm so glad that you said that. It doesn't happen that way. There are times where you take a lead as a parent and, boy, you get the scowl. And you feel the separation. And you hear the deafening silence from your children for a couple days. It's okay. Listen to me. Follow God and obey God and He'll bring success. There'll be times when you face defeat. There'll be times when you don't want to do battle. Do you ever wake up and just say, man, I don't want to fight this? We need to be strong and of good courage. There'll be the temptation to take the easier path. There'll be times when you're weak and God says being comes before doing. We must be strong and of good courage. But I want you to see a second principle tonight as we close the message. And that is, not only does being come before doing in a Christian who is guaranteed to succeed, but I want you to see a second principle in verse number 8. And that is that saturation precedes submission. This is an important principle we've got to get. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Recently we experienced saturation. About a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, we had the 9 inches of rain. And our house and around our house was saturated with water. And it was all around the house. The backyard had puddles in it. The ground had had so much water that it was standing. The area around our house was so full of water that it was pushing in at the bottom of the walls and seeping through the walls. In fact, it was seeping through in 5 places. And for a period of about 48 hours, we were pumping hundreds of gallons of water out of our basement. Being saturated in the Scriptures is to be so full of them that the Scriptures drip out of your life and your mouth and your ways and your lifestyle because you are full of the Scriptures. Notice the Bible says in verse number 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. It was to be on the tip of Joshua's tongue all the time. How was that going to take place? It was going to take place because he was to be in it day and night. In Psalm 1, verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. This command to meditate in the book of the law day and night has that same phrase connected to it, that thou mayest. Or I'm going to do this with this purpose in mind. The purpose is that I'm going to do all that God commanded me. In order for that to take place, in order for me to be submitted to the law of the Lord in every area of my life, I have to be saturated with it. I have to be saturated with the Scripture. It's very, very important that you're in the Word of God and you're getting things out of the Word of God. When I played football in high school, we had a number of plays on offense that we ran. And in practice and in leading up to that time of games as we started the season together, we would get the list of plays and we would work on them. We would run them. We would look at the plays, memorize every position on the play. So if it was number 2 and that would be the receiver on the left, I'd learn what number 2 did. If it was the receiver on the right and it was number 3, I'd learn what that wide receiver did. I'd learn where the tight end would be. I would memorize those plays so that when a quarterback would call the play at the line, guess what? I was so saturated with it, I knew exactly what I was supposed to do. I had saturated myself in study so that when it came time to put it into practice, it was natural for me to kick in to what I had learned in study. When we practice the daily discipline of letting God saturate our hearts and our minds with His Word, we will be prepared for the situations of life that are presented to us and be able to submit correctly to God in those times. I remember when Tim Neves came with a ponytail to church. Do you remember that? I remember that. Tim was coming and listening, but Tim didn't know right away or didn't do right away what he was supposed to do in that area. And he wore the ponytail for a period of time. But you know what happened to Tim Neves? You know how Tim Neves is a faithful man at Mount Zion Baptist Church today? Tim got in the book. Tim would come to me and say, Pastor, I'm listening to CDs back and forth to work, and God really used this CD in my life. And as he saturated himself in the Scriptures, you know what took place? His life began to change. You can't saturate yourself in the Scriptures without submission taking place and you seeing what God wants and doing what God wants in your life. That's why he says, get in it day and night. That's why he says, let it be on the tip of your tongue, because it'll change your life from the inside out. And Tim today has no problem with submitting to the Lord in this area. I'm sure if you talk to him, the Scriptures have changed him in many other areas, as he has in my life and yours. But saturation comes before submission. This is the discipline that we need in our lives. It's important that you saturate yourself. We may have a standard in our church that you just may not understand right now. You may be struggling in the area of music and you say, Preacher, I hear preaching on music, but I just don't understand the whole thing. Saturate yourself in the Word. You get with a pastor and say, Preacher, could you just give me some verses on music? I want to study this area for myself. I want to learn what the Bible says. And as you saturate your life in the Scriptures, you know what God will do? God, by His Spirit, will reveal to you what is right, and you can do it. Saturation. I'm convinced that if we don't do this, we won't submit. I'm sometimes frustrated with those that refuse to follow God in areas of their lives. Then I came across this principle. And I said, if they're not submitting, maybe they're not being saturated. Maybe they're just content with just a couple exposures to the Word of God, a couple services a month. Listen, saturation precedes submission. Here's how the Bible put it in James chapter 1. It says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. That's a very important phrase. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The person that continues in the Word of God will not be a forgetful hearer, but he will become a doer of the Word and the work, and he'll be blessed. There's the success again when somebody's saturated in Scripture. I continue to be burdened for the younger generation in our church. God has given us a number of young couples. I'm very thankful for every one. A number of college and career age. Listen, church, there'd be churches across this nation that would beg to have just 5 of our young people, just a couple young couples in their church. We're blessed to have these young people. We have, I think, 24 teenage boys. We have nearly 30 young people between the ages of 18 and 25. We have numbers of young couples. What will cause you as a young couple to have longevity in the area of success? Listen to me carefully. When you as a couple commit, we are going to saturate ourselves in the Word of God. We're going to do it on a daily basis. We're going to do it every time the doors are open. If there's a commitment in life that we're going to get right early in our marriage, it's going to be this commitment. And young people, listen to me as a whole. Without it, you won't have success. You may have things. You may have short-term happiness, but without this particular principle being practiced in your life, you will not have biblical success as God defines it. We need this area. We need couples that would join hands tonight, old and young alike, and come to an altar and say, bless God, if we don't get anything else right in our lives, we're going to get this one right. Our home is going to be a place where our young people, our children, and us as mates are going to be saturated in the Word of God. I wonder if you've lost focus of that in the busyness of life. And tonight, God is drawing you back to that particular principle and saying, I've got to get this one right. No matter else, what else is right in life, this one's got to be right. I'm going to saturate myself. What deacon or steward or Sunday school teacher or head of ministry department would say, I'm going to make a greater commitment in my life to being saturated with the Scriptures? What person coming on Sunday night would say, if it's good for Sunday morning and it's good for Sunday night and the Word of God's being given Wednesday night, then bless God, I'm going to move to make that commitment to the Lord and get here on Wednesday night. This coming Wednesday night, I'll be teaching, starting a series on how to have a walk with God, how you can have a walk with God. If you're an adult, you ought to be here on this Wednesday night as we start that series. What will unify us? I've been asking God that question. Lord, unify us. Lord, make our church close. Lord, keep a sweet harmony and fellowship in this place. What'll do that? It'll be when we saturate each other with the Scripture. One of the things I've been doing with the staff since we started, as I started as pastor, is I've had the staff in for a daily meeting when I'm in the office. And we've started in the Scriptures together. Because I can't do what God can do through Scriptures and prayer and time together on spiritual things. Some of you who use email and Twitter and Facebook and talk on the phone, why don't you make it a personal goal to become saturated in the Scriptures so that when you post and write and talk and call, the Word of God overflows and seeps out of your life into someone else's life. I made a commitment with all these areas a number of years ago. I'll use them. I do use them from time to time. But the primary purpose of using these areas is to edify the brethren and to share a word of encouragement from the Scripture. We need more of it. John 8:31 says, if you continue in my words, then are you my disciples indeed. Folks, God says these are the principles for spiritual success. If you want guaranteed success in life, God didn't tell Joshua to work hard to get it. Though working hard is important. But that wasn't the principle that he gave him at the beginning. He didn't tell Joshua to prepare for the future, though that's a good thing to do. He didn't tell Joshua to live organized. That's a good thing to do. He didn't tell Joshua to find out all the ways to pacify everyone around you. He didn't tell Joshua to use your money wisely, though that's good. He didn't tell Joshua to lean on his own smarts or his own understanding or his own experience. He told Joshua, being precedes doing. You have to be right. You have to be strong and of good courage. You want to have success? You got to be right. He said then, saturation precedes submission. And folks, the message for us is no different hundreds of years later. You want to have guaranteed success in the Christian life? These two things have to be right. We have to follow these principles. I wonder if we were to talk to God tonight and say, God, at Mount Zion Baptist Church, who's the ones most likely to succeed? I wonder where your name would be at on the list. Every head bowed, every eye closed.